Hello and thank you for listening into The Week on Dalal Street, a weekly podcast on the stock market. I'm Santosh Nair and with me as always is Anuj Singhal, Managing Editor, CNBC Awaaz. Anuj, a pleasure to be chatting with you again.
Santosh, good to be here and I hope that, you know, we can have a lively discussion.
Well, thank you, Anuj. So, six consecutive sessions of fall. This is the longest losing streak in the Nifty and Sensex since June last year. What's your feel about this? Does it indicate that probably the trend has reversed?
I think the trend had already reversed, Santosh. The trend had reversed on, I think, the budget day and maybe even day before that. I think what we had after that was just a counter trend rally. And it was a matter of time before the budget day lows were retested. And I think we have now done that. Actually, if you look at close-to-close basis, we are now lower than the budget day close. We are now lower than the previous day of budget and next day of budget close, both on Nifty and Bank Nifty. On intraday basis, we have tested those lows. We have not yet broken those lows, but we have tested those lows. So I think the trend was always negative since this middle of January. It's just that post-budget, there was a bit of a mirage that, you know, the market is in an upswing, but that was never to be. This market has been in some kind of a bearish phase for some time now, actually all through this year of 2023.
Now, we've been seeing that inflation and rate hike concerns have once again resurfaced in the U.S. We've been slightly decoupled from the U.S. over the last couple of months. Now, should U.S. stocks start correcting sharply from these levels, how does that affect the India story?
Yeah, and the unfortunate part is we have decoupled on the wrong side, right? We have started to underperform. I think the Nasdaq has been giving some ominous signs, Santosh. It's breaking some crucial levels. It's not able to negate a major double top. And I think the same is true for Indian IT stocks as well. I think the point you raised, because still 2 weeks back, the market was quite sanguine about, you know, just maybe one more rate hike and, you know, pause and maybe even cut. I think cut has now been ruled out brutally. And I think I was reading somewhere that the market is now prepared for three more rate hikes and 75 basis points in all. And who knows that, you know, even that may need to go up. So I think that clearly risk factor has come back. I know U.S. bond yield is precariously close to 4. I think it's at the cusp of a major breakout once again. And if the U.S. bond yield starts to surge again from here, I think all bets are off in that case for equity markets in general globally. And of course, our market anyway has been an underperforming market. If the U.S. markets fall a lot, I think we will participate on the downside once again.
Now, the earnings season is behind. What are your key takeaways? Where were the major pockets of surprises and shocks?
I think, Santosh, the issue with earnings season is that it was backward-looking. And again, there were more earnings cut than earnings upgrades. And that has been another problem for our market. I think the positive surprises came from financials, the banks. But, you know, maybe we can talk about it separately. But I think that is where the big concern is, that was that really the peak quarter for the banks? I think the other positive surprise really came in from mid-cap IT. Because mid-cap IT, some of them came out with really good numbers. Coforge, a case in point. Persistent System was another case in point. I think those were some really good numbers. And I think LTI Mindtree gave good outlook. In terms of negative surprises, I think a couple of auto stocks here and there, they came out with some negative surprises. Couple of metal companies, because the hope was that the numbers would be good. But overall, I think the earnings season has to be looked at in the context that it was really backward-looking.
So now, bank stocks suddenly are at the receiving end. You just mentioned that financials, the performance was really good, but the story seems to have changed very abruptly. Till some time back, general view was that credit growth is strong. Now that has changed and market seems to be fretting about the possible contraction in net interest margin because deposit rates are going up. How do you read this story?
No, and I think there's genuine risk of that. And that's what the screen is telling you loud and clear, Santosh. SBI has now corrected almost 20%. From its highs. I think ICICI Bank 14 or 15%. I think it's clearly telling you that the peak earnings quarter for banks may be behind us. And I was reading the last press release of SBI where they hiked deposit rates by 70 basis points thereabout. And I think lending rate hike was only 20 or 25 basis points. Because, you know, if you increase lending rates too much, then, you know, you put credit risk at growth. And deposits, you're just not able to mobilize now unless you really start to offer some really good rates in the market. By the way, that's another problem for the market, equity markets, which is that in last one and a half year, Indian retail average investor didn't have any avenues to go except for stock markets. All of a sudden, that's changed. And now, you know, 4% repo has moved to 6.5%. All of a sudden, fixed income is giving you 3% more returns than what it was giving you 2 years back, risk-free. And that's why, you know, a lot of people are moving there. But the risk on NIM contraction or NIM contraction is quite genuine for banks. The only thing which goes in banks' favor is that despite the rally that the banks had, banking stocks never really became a bubble. Not a single banking stock is trading at valuations which you will say are obscene. Even the PSU banks, which had a big rally, didn't really go into bubble territory. And I think after the correction, some of the stocks have really come into very interesting valuation zone. My sense is that another 5-10% from here, and you will see some bargain buying in banks.
Now, cement stocks, Anuj, fared better than most other sectors. There are also reports of price hikes by cement producers in selective markets. What's the market betting on, and how do you see that story playing out?
Santosh, the market's betting on the Adani factor, because when Adani entered the cement space, just like in the US you have that Amazon discount, in India you have the Adani discount. So the day Ambuja Cement deal had happened, you had started to see a lot of underperformance for other cement stocks compared to Ambuja and ACC, because the market assumed that as soon as Adani comes in, all of a sudden Ambuja and ACC, which till then had underperformed, will start to outperform. They will start to correct the mistakes of last 10 years. And the other companies will struggle a bit to match them. And you had seen that underperformance. But over the last 2 months or so, it's become very clear, once Adani Enterprises' FPO issue bombed, that there's going to be no capacity expansion. There's going to be no further money which would be put out in some of these assets. So in that case, stocks have done a fair bit of U-turn. Ambuja and ACC are back to where they were, and other cement stocks have rallied, and other cement stocks are actually now benefiting from the fact that they are not Adani Group stocks, while Ambuja and ACC are hurting from that. And the cement price hike, I think that's clearly helping. Also, what's helping some of these stocks, Santosh, is that this year we have a risk of El Nino, which would mean that the monsoon period would perhaps be crunched a bit compared to last year. Last year was really long monsoon period. And I think that's always a period in which the cement activity slows down. So I think that's also perhaps on margin helping these companies. Plus, there's always been a buzz that GST would be lowered, though that's been denied, and price hike buzz. All of these, I think, in combination, having an impact.
And Anuj, your thoughts on steel and IT stocks? They saw quite a bit of volatility. Now, in case the market were to correct further from these levels, do you think IT stocks are a good place to hide in?
I think I'll take steel first, because you mentioned both. I think steel clearly corrected because of China factor. China, ever since its New Year holidays, has actually been correcting. The rally that we had in China is all of a sudden come to a halt, which is very interesting. And that's resulted in this steel stocks also going down. I think IT, Santosh, the jury's out on how much now we have rallied, whether this is still a powerful bear market rally or start of a new bull market. I think my sense is that IT could still be the go-to space for some time, unless you start to see a real big crack open up in NASDAQ. That's always the wild card. But other than that, I think IT has shown you signs that people are still willing to trust the recovery in IT stock.
Interesting moves in ONGC and Oil India also. Morgan Stanley came out with a positive rating on both stocks during the week. There's also some relief for the energy sector by way of the reduction in windfall tax last month. Now, this is a sector typically that is at the receiving end of government policies. How are these stocks looking now? Do they offer value at these levels?
They always offer value. The only problem is that are they good portfolio bets? I think what also helped both ONGC and Oil India is that after the last round of correction, they became really good dividend yield stocks. I think ONGC at its recent bottom was offering you 13 or 14% dividend yield. Imagine, Santosh. Mm. I mean, that kind of dividend yield, and that too in a Navratna company. So obviously, a lot of people would have bought just for that. And I think the fact that windfall tax has now come down drastically. The only issue with this is that ONGC had a very nice rally building up until this windfall tax was introduced. Because the assumption was that the government has now stopped you know, you're using the wrong end of the stick for upstream companies. But with windfall gain tax, obviously the upside has been capped. But the downside for these stocks is always restricted because of the valuation comfort and because of the dividend yield that they offer. So maybe that explains the move.
Now, some stock-specific questions here. Your take on Zee. The company got some relief towards the end of the week after it was dragged to the bankruptcy court by IndusInd Bank. Some relief rally there. But how do you see the stock playing out near term?
Look, I'm a big believer in what the stock price is telling you. And the stock price of Zee has been loudly telling you that the market believes that all is not well. And I don't know how this merger is going to pan out because they've got almost every approval, but still the merger process has not been completed. So, I don't know, Santosh. And even after that NCLAT stay, the stock didn't really fly through. It's not as if, you know, it had a big 10% rally. Like, on the day of NCLAT, the stock fell 15%, right? And though it recovered, but it never had that kind of a reaction on the positive side. It reacted 2 or 3%. So, I think in that sense, Z clearly has some problems. And the deal with Sony happened at a price of roughly 300 rupees per share. Why is the stock still languishing at 200 rupees per share if it's going to be an MNC company? Why is it still trading at 12 or 13 times when it should be at least trading at 20 times, if not 30 or 40 times, which good media companies normally trade at?
Interesting view there. Divi's Lab shares also have been gaining of late. In fact, it was the best performing Nifty stock this week. What has changed there?
Nothing has changed in Divi's except that it fell 40-45%. And historically, when you buy Divi's at a 40 to 50% fall, you end up making a lot of money. I think it's just some long-only funds which have decided that it's fallen a lot. It's been the biggest wealth creator in the pharmaceutical space over the last two decades. There's no reason why it should be dumped the way it was. Obviously, there was a lot of pricing pressure over the last couple of quarters. But I think what I'll explain this move is simple, a leap of faith. You know, when you have stocks like Bajaj Finance, like Asian Paints, like Divi's Labs, like Shree Cement, which have given you 50, 60, 100 times returns, normally when they fall 40, 50%, the loyal investors just come in and buy because they believe that this is their chance to add to their gems. And that explains the rally in Divi's Labs.
And lastly, Anuj, what is it that you would keep, you would be keeping an eye out for in the week ahead?
That's a tough one because there are not too many cues lined up. I think there's a couple of data points which come out of US. I think the PCE and a couple of other data points. I think that's right now most important. Keep an eye on the geopolitical situation because I think with the US president making that unscheduled visit to Kyiv, I think that got geopolitics back into the equation this week. I think that's something that I'll keep an eye on as well.
Thanks, Anuj. And as always, it was a delight chatting with you.
Thank you, Santosh. Always good to talk to you and to you and to all our listeners. Happy weekend.
And well, that's all that we have in this episode of The Week on Dalal Street. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend ahead.